LNV's audio diary for the 6th of July, 2023. It is a Thursday, and it's just a little bit before 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Let's see. It's a gorgeous day, really very pretty right now. Some fluffy clouds flying by, though it is very hot and windy. So maybe not so gorgeous for some folks. They are talking about possible thunderstorms later, but I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. I don't put a lot of stock in that just yet, though. Thunderstorms are predicted for the rest of the week, so we'll see. We might be into our rainy season. It's entirely possible. That'd be good because things are awful dry. But it, you know, as I've said in the past, it's a double-edged sword because with the rain comes thunder and lightning touches off. Forest fires when things are this dry. So, at the very beginning of it all, it can be a danger zone. So, actually, throughout the whole thing, it's a danger because a little sprinkling of rain, even a heavy soak for one day, you know, once that dries off, it doesn't really renew the plants to the point where they have moisture in them and become a little bit more resilient to the, you know, the flames, should there be any. So yeah, it's just normal stuff for around here. So let's see, I am on my way into town. I have several places. I have to hit the post office and I have to do a little shopping and, you know, stuff like that. I have to record for the Anon radio stream tonight. I'm not prepared for that just yet. I have everything in place except for an intro that I have to put together, so that I have to, and I'm down to the wire just like I was last week. I didn't mean to, I really didn't intend to, but there you go. I just never either didn't have the opportunity to record, you know, an intro, or it the opportunity just never presented itself throughout the week, or I didn't even think of it. You know, there was a lot of that going on too. So anyway, last couple of days we were off. Mrs. Bronx didn't have to go in, and her new schedule is going to begin next week, I think. So this is the last time she'll be pulling weekends. She's been on the schedule for weekends, so I've been going in to take care of the rabbit and cats and stuff with her on the weekends. And this is going to be the last one. After that, they go back because they have that new doctor that I mentioned. So it looks like it's going to be a regular thing. We'll see. I'll keep you updated on that. I know you're on the edge of your seats, so we'll see. We'll see how it goes. We were home last 2 days. Today's another day off, so it was 3 days in a row that she had off, which she desperately needed because she was overworked the last couple of weeks and hardly got any time to rest. And she needs more rest and more sleep than she's been getting. So this was quite welcome, actually. And we'll just see where it all goes. We'll see. So let's see. We were home. I did nothing. I sat on my ass. But by saying I'm doing nothing, I'm actually lying because I did work on... Okay. Klaatu, Deep Geek, and I have been talking about Information Underground. We're going to do another episode coming up. I'm not going to talk about it too much just yet. But we've kind of decided that rather than try to hit a deadline or anything like that, this is a show we like to do from time to time, and when we feel like doing one, we'll do one. And we also decided that we are going to offer it over the Gopher protocol, just like before, just like the old days, because Gopher and Gemini are kind of on a resurge these days, and that's where it began and lived for the most of its life. We did do stuff on Hacker Public Radio, but I have revamped the Gopher site for Information Underground, and that's what I did the other day. So I thought it was just going to be a few minutes to get it cleaned up, but then when I got in there, I realized, oh, no, we really don't want it like this. We want a lot of stuff a little bit different and a lot easier to navigate. Plus, I wanted to get the HPR episodes over there so everything's all in one spot. So that's what I did, and I think the site turned out pretty good. If you have that link to Information Underground and the Gopher site, Go check it out. If you don't, I'll give you that information at another time. But I haven't talked about Information Underground for a while, so if you've forgotten about that, or if you're new and you don't know about it, the three of us, this was a long time ago now, years and years ago, actually, we decided, you know, I think we were having extensive conversations via email about, you know, ostensibly it was about Gopher and about getting a dedicated server, but it branched off really wildly sometimes into various different areas, right? And we realized that the thing about us is that we have varying interests. And I'm sorry, I'm distracted. They're doing some construction and they have some strange stuff going on here. Some guy's waving us over to a far lane and thing. I think they're just putting the lines down right now, but oh, they did. They resurfaced here. Oh, that's nice. Very good. Okay, sorry about that. So, anyway, yeah, we have varying interests, and we would have extensive emails back and forth about various subjects. And finally, we decided, why don't we just record some of this, you know? Why don't we get together and talk, I think is where it started. And then, you know, if we're going to talk, we may as well record it. So, that's how it started. And the concept behind Information Underground is that one of us will present a topic or come forward with a topic, something they want to talk about. And that's what we do. In the past, I've put together entire speeches that I would present because I'm better in the written word than I am in the spoken. So I would present my argument's the wrong word, my presentation, my concept, my idea. And then we would just discuss it. And it ranges everywhere from media, like movies and TV, to human sexuality, to politics, to freedom, to the concept, you know, to software, you know, because it primarily began talking about tech. All sorts of stuff. Also, I mean, it really ranges far and wide. And it got a very small, but quite interested, fan base is the wrong thing, but followers, people who, you know, if you know, you know, type of thing, and they knew it, and they looked forward to hearing us talk. So when we went and did stuff on Hacker Public Radio after a long hiatus, because we didn't know exactly, you know, we were thinking, well, we want to get a nice audience base for this thing, and it worked. There were quite a number of people that listened to that, and we even got feedback over on Hacker Public Radio. People just like discussions, like hearing different topics and people talking about these different topics. Something that interested us. At least one person was very interested walking in, and by the end, we were all really involved and interested in the topic, whatever it happened to be. So it was overall very, it's been a really positive experience for me, and I think all three of us. I think we've enjoyed it. Where it's been less enjoyable is when it becomes a burden, right? And very often that burden is due to time constraints, right? We're all busy guys. I'm probably the least busy of the three of us, but even I have had conflicts in the past, and it's been hard for us to get together. We're in, all of us are separated by thousands of miles, and it's just not conducive sometimes to get together on our, you know, on our, first off, finding the free time. Secondly, finding the free time when everyone else has free time. And then you have the time zone thing coming into it. So it's often a challenge for us to get together and do one. Now, for the Hacker Public Radio thing, I think we had two or three sessions, and we did a couple of topics at a time to try to, you know, maximize our free time. But this time we've just decided, you know, if we can get an hour or so, or just however much time we can get together, we can talk, and we'll upload an episode when we feel like it. If we do one episode now and maybe not another one for another 3 years, that's how it's got to be. That's just how it's got to be. And I was surprised, but it's been at least 3 years. No, it's been more like 4 or 5 years or whatever since we did the Hacker Public Radio ones. And honestly, that feels like we just did it, right? So time can fly by between us putting out episodes. But I was surprised to see that we've done 14 episodes of Information Underground over the years. And that really is kind of shocking to me. I thought it was single digits. You lose track of this stuff. You know, you do. So, yeah, we've been talking about it, and we're going to do another one. And when that happens, I'll see if I can promote it on either Gopher or even in the Gemini pages, because there's a big overlap between Gemini and Gopher people. So I'm going to see if I can get it on one of the aggregators there and just get some people listening through that protocol. And I'll talk about it here and maybe mention it elsewhere. I don't know. But the beauty of our site, our Gopher site, is that it has, it's written in PyGopherD, which is it's not a protocol, but it's a library that based on Python, which basically it's a server. PyGopherD is a server. Okay, I'm getting all my terms wrong, but it's a server that provides a bridge between Gopher and HTTP. HTTP being website, meaning you can open up our site in a regular web browser, right? That's actually a really powerful thing, right? That's a very powerful thing. So that allows people to grab a copy of our content, you know, Information Underground or anything I post up over there. I put these audio diaries up over on my Gopher site. Same site. It's on that site. It's on the Information Underground site, and I have my own section there. But on Information Underground itself, there is a section. It's really, they're just folders in Gopher, right? It's just a directory in Gopher. But there's a directory there for the Information Underground audio cast, and that's where everything is. And I cleaned all that up. It looks okay. We still have to, I don't know. The RSS feed, it's there, it's not up to date, we don't have everything on there, and I don't know of a single RSS feed that can, or RSS reader that can pull from Gopher, and I don't believe our bridge will extend to the RSS that's in, like, the feeds that are listed in the XML file. I don't think that's how that will work, because when you're doing that, you know, that's actually really worth checking out. Thinking about it now, I was thinking no, because Kletu brought it up and says, won't that bridge work to resolve it properly? And I was like, I don't think so. But now that I'm thinking about it, I haven't tested that, and it very well might work. It's entirely possible, because the feed can be, no, I don't think it can, right? I don't think it can, because the feed will, the XML file for the RSS feed can be resolved through the bridge, right? But nothing listed within the feed will be resolved by the bridge by your RSS reader, right? Or your podcatcher, right? Your podcatcher won't resolve that as web links. It'll still resolve that as Gopher links, which is what's listed there, right? What we would have to do is go through and change all of those to feeds that resolve in the through the bridge, right? Which there's a set web link that comes through when you click on a Gopher link through that bridge, right? In other words, I can use that and come up with valid web links that will then probably resolve through an RSS reader. But I would have to do it all manually, right? So that means we would have to generate our RSS feed manually. I have tried to do that in the past, and I have failed miserably. And I've had a lot of hard luck trying to use something like FeedBurner and stuff. I'm really not good with XML. It's not a good thing. So if we wanted to provide an RSS feed that can be used, that's a valid RSS feed, That would actually resolve for Information Underground. We probably would have to generate it manually. I don't think there's an easy way to do it through something like FeedBurner, which is a program that produces podcast feeds, RSS feeds, not just podcasts, but for any kind of news feed like that. Yeah, I'm sorry. I know for almost everybody listening to this, nothing I've just said makes any sense. But a few of you out there might be able to grasp what I'm trying to grasp myself in my head at this moment as I work it out talking to you, dear listeners. Sorry, I will drop it now. But I think there are challenges there. I think it's possible, but I don't think it can be automated without someone creating something new. Unless something like FeedBurner is given a... I don't think it can be done. Frankly, I don't think it can be done. But maybe it can be. Maybe it can be. I don't know. Anyway, I'll drop that now. Just to say that Information Underground is still live. It's still very periodic. You know, when we want to, we do it. And that's how it's going to be from this point forward. And it will live on Gopher. We discussed various ways of presenting it, you know, including, you know, a minimal website, which technically we will have through PyGopher D, right? That could be a permanent place, a permanent link that can be offered up, and people can always go there and get it in a web browser, right, and get a copy. Well, in the past, we've talked about creating a Gemini site. I'm not saying that's not a thing that won't happen. You know, an Information Underground Gemini site, that could happen. That could still happen. But I think Gopher is working just fine for us. You know, some people have a real problem with Gopher. Excuse me. Some people have a real problem with Gopher. Not, you know, people that are, there's a term that's called small web, right? SMOL web, right? Small web, which is just a hacker name for the small web. It's like a slurred version. It's not even a portmanteau. It's just a slang term for quote unquote small web, which includes things like Gopher. Okay. And there's another protocol called Gemini, which is a little more expansive than Gopher, but not as expansive or as complicated as the web, right? A regular web page. And I could go on and on, and I've talked about this in the past, but there is a very passionate community right now that is dedicated to the small web, right? And the small web, as I say, it includes Gopher. Since we already have Gopher installed, and it's a very useful Gopher with that web bridge, very useful. I think it's, to me, that's been incredible, because I've used that to serve out files and stuff, like temporary files that, you know, I need to link to other people or other places, right? So to me, PyGopher D is it, and I can't imagine why anyone would use anything else, but that's just me. So in my opinion, it's a very powerful version of Gopher that we have there. And why give that up instead, you know, why choose Gemini, which does have some advantages. Gemini has some really good things about it in the way that content is served up. And one of the big advantages that I started to say, one of the big advantages is that you can serve Gemini over HTTPS. In other words, you can use an SSL you can secure through SSL the website and make it a secure place so that no one can mess with your site, right? Which Gopher can't do, right? SSL didn't exist, you know, HTTPS didn't exist when Gopher first came about. So regular web is what Gopher is all about, right? That doesn't mean that Gopher is inherently, yes, the Gopher protocol is less secure than Gemini or even the web you know, even regular web pages these days, right? Because you can't do that. However, you can secure your server in such a way that it doesn't matter that much. It really doesn't, right? So as a result, our Gopher site isn't really any less secure than a Gemini site. But is it possible for someone to mess with your site? Because, you know, some hacksaw type that's going to get in there and mess with your stuff? Well, I suppose it is. I suppose in theory it is. But again, I don't think it's that big of a danger. You know, it could happen, but I don't think it's a huge danger. And so, you know, the worst, and all of this that I'm saying is just to say that we have decided after discussion that we're going to stick with Gopher. We have it. It works really well for what we're doing. You know, other people want to do other things that Gopher cannot do that maybe Gemini can. So they, you know, Gemini's a good choice for them. But for us, Gopher is adequate. It really does the job. And one of its big advantages, in my opinion, this is just for me, is that it's understandable, right? I can look at a Gopher page, or it's called a Gopher map, that is basically used to set what the page looks like when you go. It's kind of like when you go to a web page, you can right click on it and you can look at the code, the underlying HTML and CSS code that is rendering that page, right? Anybody can do that with any browser. Well, the equivalent to that in Gopher is a thing called a Gopher map, right? And a Gopher map is basically the page that tells Gopher how to render what's there. A Gopher map is not needed. You don't need a Gopher map to serve up content over Gopher, right? You can just drop files on a Gopher server and they will be available there for anybody to use, right? So there are times when a Gopher map is desirable, but there are other times you don't need it, right? Like say when I say Gopher site or Gopher, you know, Gopher page, generally we're talking about like the Gopher map, right? The Gopher map. And the Gopher map, this guy's pulling in. There is no parking here. There is no parking here. All right. Oh, yes, there is. I can see a space right there. All right. Sorry, I'm at the post office right now. And I was like, I don't see anything, but now I do. So anyway, the Gopher map might, like, say, I might put a link on the Gopher map to a directory that I have a file that I'm offering up, right? There's a file. But if it's just a file and I don't need anything else on there, you know, or just a list of files, I don't have to use a Gopher map on that subdirectory. I can if I want to, but I don't have to. I can just put those files there so it says, you know, On the Gopher page, it says, you know, here's my file, click here, or you don't click, but you know, here's my file, here's the link, and you go on that link, and it's offered up right there. The file is right there. It's just listed right there, and you can grab the file at that point. So, to me, Gopher's got a lot of advantages. Now, a web page can do that too, but unless, like, one of the things about the web is that styling matters, right? Styling matters on the web. And a web page, if you just had a regular page that was nicely styled, and then you had a subdirectory that had a list of files on it that wasn't styled, that would look really, really bad. Whereas everything more or less looks the same on Gopher. Not necessarily. Again, with clever use of a Gopher map, you can actually do some interesting styling. But anyway, let me run into the post office. I'll be right back. Okay, I'm back. Bit of a wait there in line, but not too bad. Not too bad. Okay, you're pulling in here, are you? All right. Tight. Okay. Not too bad. All right. Let's see. Yeah, that was a lot of chatter about Gopher. But I guess the long and short of it is just that, you know, Information Underground is still around, and we'll have an episode coming out. Well, we don't have a set time yet, but it's in the works. We're talking about it, and that means probably we'll get together at some point soon. And I'll let you know about that. And I will provide a... well, if you're on Gopher or you can access Gopher, then that won't be a problem. But if not, I will give you all that information when the time is ripe. So let's see, what else? I don't know. As I've talked about in the past, I've been using an index card system to keep myself organized. But on my days off, it's often the case that I don't actually use it, right? Especially if I don't intend on getting anything at all done that day. If I'm just gonna sit and stare at the walls. And that was the case the last couple days. However, today I am on my schedule and I am doing stuff and getting things done. I am still actively working on my diet. I've been going over my diet and counting my calories. I've been a little... it's hard to count calories when I'm making stuff at home, you know, like if I'm making a full meal, because, you know, I'm combining ingredients and getting numbers that I probably, it would take a lot of research to get it, even a, you know, a ballpark number, and it's probably not even the ballpark, it's probably wildly inaccurate, so it's all a little hard when I do that, when I'm, you know, home cooking can be hard to keep track of the numbers, but overall, I've been doing pretty good. Last time I weighed myself, I lost, you know, another pound. So I'm actually down, I was down at, like, to 178, 179, right? I haven't seen, not 70, 80, I'm sorry, 188, 189, not 178, 179. But even so, I haven't seen that weight since we moved to Arizona, right? I was like 180, I don't know what it was like 181, 182, something like that when I moved. Or even a little bit less than that, but it's been a very long time since I've been the weight I am right now, so, there's progress, my diet works, and it's just counting calories, or at the very least, being aware of what I'm eating, trying to be aware of what I'm eating, and not eating idly, not snacking, not just sitting there, you know, with a bag of, you know, fill in your favorite snack food, without a, you know, just sitting there stuffing my face while I'm watching some stupid TV show or something. So, you know, it makes a difference. It works. And it's going slowly, which is what I want. I don't want fast reduction. I want a nice, slow, gentle reduction because that, first off, that's better for your health overall. But secondly, it's a greater indicator that my eating habits have altered. You know, if I'm doing it slowly, bit by bit, I've gotten into the habit of eating less, right? And being more satisfied with less food, less garbage than I used to have. And as I've said, using this system, I don't deny myself any kind of food. I just don't eat as much of it as I used to, you know? So I'm still eating candies and cakes and, you know, all sorts of treats and fatty foods and carbs and this and that. I'm still eating all of it. I'm just not eating as much of it or as thoughtlessly as I used to. And it just makes a big difference. It just makes a big difference for me. It may not for you, but for me, it's made a big difference. So my diet is still moving, still on track. I was a little stalled out around 190. But if I've broken through, I feel like I can keep going. And I realize I'm going to fluctuate up and down. Well, throughout the entire process, I've fluctuated up and down, but mostly trending down, which is what we're after. So, anyway, let's see. What have I been up to? What have I been doing as of late? Well, have I seen anything? Let's do that. Let's wonder about that. I watched this new series. It came out on... Is it Netflix? I think it was Netflix. Called Silo. And it's a science fiction set in... Well, it's got to be the future. I would think it's the future. Could be, you know, some ridiculous stuff with... No, it's got to be the future. It's the future. I think. And it's set in a city that's built into like a giant silo underground, right? So imagine like a ballistic missile silo, but much bigger, right? And about 10,000 people live here on, I don't know, 100 and something levels going down. They have no memory of how they got there, right? They don't know how long they've lived there, how many generations they've lived there. They think it might be anywhere between 120, 130 to who knows, right? But the information they have is quite limited, right? And everybody just sort of gets by there. And it's a closed environment. No one can go outside because outside is poison, right? It looks all post-apocalyptic out there. And the ultimate crime in this environment, in this place, is to say you want to go outside. So it is a totalitarian government. But primarily, when everything is running smoothly, it's very hands-off, right? People just live their lives. But they have a very, you know, their resources are quite limited. They do recycle everything they can. And there are some strange laws, right? So their technology is not allowed to progress, really. There are certain things that are simply verboten, right? So magnification, for one, it's an odd one, but magnification is not allowed, right? Beyond a certain power. So you can have a magnifying glass you'd hold in your hand, but if you build something that can become a microscope, it's against the law, and they'll come and confiscate the thing and maybe punish you for building it, right? They will punish you for using what they call relics, which is anything from the quote-unquote before times, right? So before the, you know, within context of the story, there was a rebellion about 100 and odd years, like 120 years, 140 years before, where a rebel faction supposedly tried to open up the airlock to get out. And if they opened it up, it would have let poison in to kill everybody, right? Because all of these things, there's a lot of laws, but the ultimate law, the primary law is... the way they state it, you cannot ask to go outside. You cannot ask to go outside, because if you ask to go outside, you will be sent outside. As they say, and they repeat it several times in the story, any request to go outside will be granted, but any such request is irrevocable, meaning you will be sent outside if you ask to go outside. And if you get sent outside, you die. Even, you know, they have these, like, environmental suits, and even then you only last about 3 minutes, right? Well, you find out there's things about all of this that are strange, and they don't make a lot of sense. There's also, like, any items that are found, anything from the old days, any gadgets or devices or anything from the old days, any technology that's beyond the state of what they have, and they have a limited set of devices and technology at their disposal. But mostly everything is mechanical, right? With a few exceptions. They do have some computers, right? And they seem to be computers from like the 90s, like we would think of it. They have radio, but it's very limited in scope as to who gets to use it and what its range is. So it's only really good in the silo. There are just a lot of limits. A lot of limits placed on the tech, right? And all of it seems to be designed to keep everybody safe. Safe and content. Safe from themselves, safe from rioting, safe from social, you know, social issues. Because if anyone opens the airlock, it's a death sentence, right? So this is the whole structure of, you know, the plot that you walk in. This is the backstory of this show. Intriguing, not especially original, right? And that ultimately is my complaint with the show. It's quite predictable. You've seen it all before, right? Now, I don't require complete originality. I don't. So it doesn't really bother me that the show is not all that original, right? That it is predictable, right? The big plot twists and everything. I saw them all coming. They were all telegraphed long in advance, right? Or at least they were easy to figure out. So that's my big complaint about the show. What I like about the show is the acting. The acting's outstanding. The writing, despite these plot issues, is good. Dialogue and everything is all really tight. Character actions make sense, right? One of my big complaints about a lot of shows is that people do stupid shit that makes no sense, right? They don't do that on this show. Everything everybody is doing makes sense within context of the story, right? But you won't be surprised by anything that happens. It is, however, still interesting, and they spent a lot of money on this show. It looks huge. It looks big in scope. So I think it's definitely, if you're into science fiction, especially strange settings or post-apocalyptic stuff, you really want to check Silo out. And the first season, I don't know if there's going to be a second season, but the first season is out now. I think it's 8 episodes, something like. Check it out. I think you'll like it. But otherwise, I think that's about all I got going on right now. So I guess that's it for today, because I am not home.